Well, as we get started today, I want to encourage us all to pray. We'll spend some quiet time just praying for us to be able to hear whatever it is that God wants us to hear, and then we'll come back. And I encourage you to pray for me, too. Let's pray. If you'll just join me and repeat this prayer after me, it goes, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." So let's pray that together. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." As I talked about in the welcome time, today I want to ask you, what kind of keepsakes do you have? What have you kept maybe to remember somebody special? And when you look at it, it's a memory. I think Pastor Brandon has in our office a keepsake that's a scale that his grandpa had. I know I have a few, and I was thinking about, because my dad's parents are gone, and thinking about them, and there are a few keepsakes that I have from my dad's parents, and those are several things. I mentioned the Bible. There's a couple Bibles that I have. Another Bible where my grandpa did his morning devotions and drank his coffee, so I kept a coffee cup to you. There's a meatloaf pan that my grandma made meatloaf, and I make meatloaf too, and I think I do a pretty good job. There's a strawberry shortcake pitcher that my grandma used, but thinking about those things, and you probably have your own little things that you have too as keepsakes, because my mom's parents are not gone. And they're alive, and I was visiting them several weeks ago. I was at their house, and as I was looking through their stuff, my grandma, who I think is online with us right now, so hi, Grandma, I love you in case you're listening. She's with us, so I got to be careful here, Grandma, but she was, I can't say complaining, can I? But she was remarking how they had some stuff, and they wanted family members to take it, and we weren't taking it. And so as I was with my grandma and grandpa, there was something that I noticed for the first time, and it was this thing right here. And I'll tell you that on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, September 22nd, it was my grandma's 87th birthday. And so I was thinking about my grandma that day. That date's like entwined in my memory. And I just felt like, hey, I'm going to write a sermon for grandma. That's going to be my gift to her. Now, you may be thinking, what a cheap guy. You know, like writing his grandma a sermon. He had to do that anyway. But I just felt like this compulsion to write a sermon for my grandma. And I called her and talked to my grandparents that day. And they had just celebrated on September 12th their 69th wedding anniversary. So I talked to them that day, and I talked to Grandma and Grandpa, and I told Grandma, hey, I wrote a sermon for you today, so happy birthday. And the sermon is inspired by what I took from them as a keepsake. Caleb, my son, is on to me. Last week, he really surprised me, because he said he was listening to my sermon. I'm surprised when anybody listens to a sermon, one of my sermons, let alone my kids. And he's like, Dad, I know what you do. You have this thing where you kind of have a mystery. Do you know what it says? And then you won't tell us till later. And I'm like, Caleb, you're right. you found my formula. So, as Caleb knows, I'm not going to read to you what this says yet. That'll come later. But one thing that Caleb doesn't know is what scripture we're going to next. And that is Hebrews 11. So let's look at Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 2. It says this: "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." Now I want to stop and ask the question, who were the ancients? Like, who are the ancients that this writer of Hebrews is talking about, the ancients? Well, some people call Hebrews chapter 11 the Hall of Faith, because the writer talks about these people from the Old Testament time, especially, who had this great faith. their names like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses. Then there's Rahab, who gets mentioned into this as a person who had faith. And then there's some nameless people. People who we do not know who they were. We just knew what they did and that they lived by faith and they were willing to sacrifice and step out and do some things that required great faith. So we're not going to look at the list of all the names of the ancients, but we're going to keep the ancients in mind, because after talking about some of the names of the ancients and some of the nameless ancients who had faith, then it says in Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And I think that that's interesting, surrounded. Like right now, in the presence, we are surrounded in some sense. And again, faith is what, you know, it's about confidence in what we hope for, assurance about what we do not see. And in some way, the author of Hebrews is telling us that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. This made me think about a group of people that opposed Jesus, and they were called the Sadducees. Now, the Pharisees and the scribes, they get a lot more attention because all throughout the Gospels, they tend to be the ones that are arguing with Jesus and upset about some things. But I want to talk just a little bit today about the Sadducees and who were they. The Sadducees were a group of people. They were Jewish people in Jesus' time. They had faith, but their faith was a lot different than the Pharisees. They only accepted as scripture the first five books. Called the Torah, the Pentateuch. They called that the books of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That was where their scripture stopped. And they also, they were kind of common sense people. Like in their way of seeing things, they didn't believe about in the resurrection. They thought angels and kind of talks of these invisible spirits were silly. They believed in only what they could see, not in what they couldn't see. And so they wanted to expose Jesus' ridiculous beliefs about resurrection and eternal life, and just kind of show him why it's not a real practical way of thinking. And in their scenario, they talked about a man and a woman, and then the man died. They were married, and the man died, and the man had six younger brothers, and the next brother stepped in, and he married the woman, and he died. And this happened down to the seventh brother. So they ask, okay, so in the resurrection, which one is married to her, Jesus? Solve that mystery for us. I mean, you believe in a resurrection and afterlife, so here's the scenario. There were seven different brothers married to one woman, so, okay, which one is she going to be married to at the resurrection? And Jesus responded, you're an heir because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. And he says, and then he said this, have you not read in the book of Moses? So this is interesting too, because he doesn't even talk about anything that's coming after Deuteronomy. He's going back to what they accept as scripture, the book of Moses. Have you not read it? You say you believe in the book of Moses and that alone, but have you not read in the book of Moses, in the account of the burning bush, how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And this is, it's interesting, thinking back now to the author of Hebrews. And what does this mean that we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, these ancients who lived a long time ago and died, and they're not here in physical form with us. What is it talking about? It's interesting. Another thing that's written in Hebrews is in Hebrews 4:12. It says this, for the word of God is alive and active. The word is alive and active. Here, again, this is a copy of my grandparents' Bible. It's the pages, trees, all that kind of stuff, but and it's stories and it's words from ancient peoples. who have died. They lived and they died. But even though we can't see those people, we can't see it, the Word of God is alive and it's active. God speaks to us through this Word. If I were to say that and a Sadducee were here, and maybe you can relate to the Sadducees, but they'd say something like, sentimental hogwash. And I worked that in for Mark, because it's from my favorite movie, just to twerk him a little bit. Yeah, the Cubs won the division, so I had to hear you from that. So take some It's a Wonderful Life, Mark. But does it, I mean, this sounds kind of, you know, like, is it just sentimental? Like, it sounds kind of nice, like people who have gone on before, maybe they're not really gone. Isn't that something people say just to help people feel better? Like, you know, whatever you say to try to comfort someone who's lost someone. Well, this isn't based on faith, trust, and pixie dust, as the saying goes. This isn't about blind faith where we tell you just to pray about it and then you'll feel a certain way. It's not just about sentiment or feeling or emotion. Because the Christian faith in Jesus is founded on a historical event. It's founded on Jesus dying and raising from the dead. And we have certain historical facts. There was a guy named Jesus. No one credible at all would dispute that. And that Jesus died on the cross. And that there was an empty tomb. And that the disciples were willing to say that and to die for that claim that Jesus had come back from the dead. So we have a faith that's founded on a historical event. That this historic person named Jesus lived, died, and came back from the dead. And that is where our faith is, that it did happen, that resurrection is not just something we hope for or just feel in our hearts or whatever, but it's something that happened, can still happen, that there's something that's alive and active and powerful. This is based on eyewitnesses to the actual event, and we have all kinds of eyewitnesses from history who are willing to testify that Jesus came back from the dead. So again, this is something that we have. It's not just to make us feel good, but something that I think that there's a lot of reason to believe in, and there's some credibility along with this claim that Jesus came back from the dead. The bedrock of our faith is the resurrection. If you want to like read more about how everything was put together, saw those slides there from the book, there's Case from Christ and Irresistible. But again, the bedrock of the faith is the resurrection of Christ. If you're online and listening and you're not a Christian, or maybe if you're here, you're not a Christian, you don't quite believe, we want you to know we're so thankful to have you listening. And even if you don't believe in the resurrection or think that maybe we're kidding ourselves, we just want to thank you for listening and for having an open mind to consider what we're talking about today. So we respect you and thank you for listening. Let's go back to the Word. In Hebrews 11:39 through 40, listen to this. This is really interesting. It's talking about the ancients or the people of faith. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Now, isn't that amazing? Like here, the author of Hebrews is saying that the ancients and us, like it's better together. Like it's not like they didn't receive everything that they hoped for. They were still waiting, but in faith and in hope, they had this confidence that it was going to happen. And that when you combine the ancients with us, there's something, it's better together. There's something powerful. So for those of us who are mourning, maybe departed ones that have gone on before us, and we mourn those losses, there's great hope if we miss loved ones, because the gospel gives us hope about that complete reunion, that this is not all that there is, and that a better together day is coming. The ancients combining with the present, that something better, and that something coming is coming that's perfect. It's not here yet. We haven't received it yet. We still wait for it, but we have hope that something perfect is coming, and that it will be better together. God planned something better and it's only when we're together that we can experience it. There's a pastor named Mark Batterson who wrote an article, short article, that I wanted to read. So listen to these words. In 853 BC, a king named Jehoram assumed the throne. He was the fifth king of the southern kingdom, and he did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Jehoram actually killed his brothers to secure the throne. Now, you would expect God to execute judgment in the next verse, wouldn't you? Not so fast. Nevertheless, it says, for the sake of his servant David, and Jehoram was a great, 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 great something grandson of David. For the sake of his servant David, the Lord was not willing to destroy Judah. Now this is 117 years after David's death. David is long gone, but God hasn't forgotten the promise he made. God has a good memory. He doesn't forget his people, and he doesn't forget his promises. The only thing he forgets is the sin that he forgives. Now, can I suggest that God has done some things in your life for the sake of someone else? I know he has for me. I had a praying grandfather in Elmer Johnson. At night, he would take off his hearing aid, kneel next to his bed, and pray. Now, he couldn't hear himself, but everyone in the house could. Those are some of my earliest memories. My grandfather died when I was six, but his prayers did not. There have been distinct moments in my life when I've received a blessing I know I didn't deserve, and the Holy Spirit has whispered these words, Mark, the prayers of your grandfather are being answered in your life right now. Now that will give you goosebumps. God did it for Elmer's sake. We're the beneficiaries of prayers we know nothing about. God was working long before we arrived on the scene, and he's using us to set up the next generation. We tend to think right here, right now, God is thinking nations and generations. I don't know about you, but those words from Mark Batterson hit me really, really powerfully, because I think those words are true for me. I think those words are true for Pastor Brandon. I think those words are true for others of us that are in this room. We are the beneficiaries of prayers that we know nothing about. God was working long before we arrived on the scene, and he wants to use us for those coming after us. Maybe the prayer that we prayed 10 years ago is going to be answered 10 years from now. Maybe the prayer that our grandfather, great-grandfather, whatever, prayed decades ago is being answered right now, or is about to be answered, or has been. Think about it. Think about it. So how do we apply this? Let's go back to Hebrews 12. It says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Now, everything that we do as a church here at Meridian is about following Jesus. And I want to take this moment to invite you to take a step in faith. If you believe and want to follow Jesus, here's a prayer. Or maybe if you're not even sure yet and you're not ready to commit, but you want to take a step in faith toward God, you recognize there's something bigger than yourself, I want to offer this prayer. Will you pray with me? Living God, lead me to the way, the truth, and the life. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. Spirit of the living God, I ask you to help me to walk by faith in something greater than myself. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Caleb, you know what's coming next? The answer! He knows! I love you. All right. So, it's time to go back to this newest keepsake that I have. And just something to share to a lot of you who are part of this church. family know, call my grandma on Tuesday. I did not know it at the time, but the next day I would find out that my grandpa would be sick with COVID. She would eventually be too, and my parents, and they all live together. And it's been a rough week for us. it just seemed like God was providentially providing all this. So, Grandma, I hope this is a real encouragement to you, because as I read this, I think it takes even more meaning. Okay, and I mentioned they'd celebrated their 69th wedding anniversary on September 12th, but it says, happy anniversary, a symbol of our 35 years together. I love you for time and all eternity. And then it says, Vila, my grandma has the same name as my firstborn daughter, Vila. And it says, is a 4031. And my grandma is a 4031, which is a reference to Isaiah 40:31. And when I took this from my grandparents a few weeks back, I told them the story of why I wanted to keep this. I've been thinking about this is about halfway in their marriage with each other, 35 years in. And it was because it connected Jenny and I's story with my grandma and grandpa's. When I was trying to date Jenny, I was coming on a little heavy, and she told me to back off. And so, I wrote a note to her saying, basically, I'm sorry I was too pushy and aggressive. And I based it on Isaiah 40:31. I said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, I didn't know it. I gave it to my sister to give to Jenny, but Jenny had already sent me an email. It was back in the days before we checked email every day. It had been a few days. And my sister said, go check your email. So when I did, at the campus of Anderson University in our computer lab, the subject line from the email from Jenny said, they will soar on wings like eagles. And I remember thinking, that is so cool. I don't think we'd ever talked about Isaiah 40:31, but we had the same verse on our heart for different parts. I had to apologize for being in a hurry. And she was saying, now it's time to soar. And I remember just praying at a bench outside the computer lab at Anderson, and I would go and propose to her several months later from that spot where I just had this sense that God was going to help us soar on wings as eagles. So I told my grandparents that as I took this keepsake from them, because it connected our stories together. It helped me to see, essentially, this thing helps me to see and remember that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And God's answering some prayers today that went back decades and centuries and maybe even millennia ago, because we are surrounded right now by a great cloud of witnesses. We have great hope in our resurrected Lord Jesus. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for surrounding us with such a great cloud of witnesses. We thank you for the prayers and blessings that come to us from those who've gone before us. And we ask that you help us to walk in faith so that we can bless those who will come behind us. Help us to see how a joy shared is multiplied and a sorrow shared is divided. May we fix our eyes on Jesus, loving one another, so that we can experience how life is better together. In Jesus' name, amen.